Welcome back, Paper Tray Peeps. This is Erin Lincoln, your podcast hostess, and we're back today, April 23rd, 2011, with our sixth podcast. As per usual, we've got a full lineup today with loads of listener participation, which is personally my favorite part, and a chat with Nicole about her creative process. I've always figured if I've got a ton of questions for her, you've got the same questions. Hopefully I channeled all of you and asked those questions which you're dying to know the answers to. First up, our discussion question from last week. I asked you about the frequency of your creative time and if having it was necessary to your general happiness. This is what you had to say about it.
Hi, my name is Rebecca DeepRose from Scottsdale, Arizona. And in regard to your question about how often do you craft or have creative time, daily. Without it, I am grumpy and unhappy and really of less use to the people around me. That's my plug-in time. I can't go really more than a day without it. Otherwise, I start doodling on napkins and trying to come up with things with whatever's laying around if I'm not near my crafting table. So I'm sure a lot of the people listening to radio feel the same way. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ginny Angieski calling from Everett, Washington, calling in response to your question about how often you get crafty with your cards. And I just wanted to call and say that I think before the Make It Mondays, my creativity was limited to when I needed a card or, you know, I was up against a deadline. And now that these Make It Mondays have come around, I find that I look forward to seeing the videos and learning new techniques and spending some time in my craft room and deciding, you know, how I'm going to interpret whatever the Make It Monday is. And I really like that. I know in the back of my head I'm going to at least get one project done for the week, and I really like that. So that's my answer. Thanks so much. I appreciate everything. Bye.
Hello, this is Christy Cross calling from Central Illinois. I'm calling in about your podcast question about my need to create and how it reflects my mood. It's ironic you asked this question this week because my sister and I actually just had a discussion about this last week. She works a job where she is away from home a lot for her job, and I work one where I have several afternoons a week where I'm off early. And I told her that I could never trade her because those couple of hours that I get in the afternoons I'm home early allow me to create. And I just expressed to her that I, just last week we had the discussion that I have to create or I'm grumpy. And it's interesting that you asked the question on the podcast. I fit creativity into my day in different ways. If I actually don't have time to sit down and create something, I still take a few minutes while I'm eating my breakfast when the house is quiet in the morning to go over some blogs, including Nicole's, because I love the Paper Tray blog. And it just makes me feel creative when I've had the time. I guess I call it studying creativity. Like I said, if I can't sit down and actually hands-on touch something, I at least take the time to read something that allows me to feel that I've been creative. I also take magazines, my favorite paper crafting magazines that I read while I'm on my treadmill. And I have found that I have incorporated my workspace into a corner of our family room so that I have an opportunity in the evenings when my family is sitting down to watch television that I can still sit in the corner, be a part of the family, watch what they're watching, but I have something in front of me to work on. And it's in a place where I can leave it out and feel like I don't have to put everything away at the end of every night. Also, one other little thing that I wanted to comment on, you had mentioned in last week's podcast about how you looked forward to the day when your daughter would craft with you. Unfortunately, my daughter has not shown the interest, and she's 24 years old, and I'm disappointed in that because I always looked forward to that time together. But even though she's not expressed an interest in being creative with me, she loves sharing the things that I make with other people. She requests me to make cards for her to give away. She got married last year, and she was so proud of everything that I made for her wedding. So even if your daughter doesn't grow up to appreciate spending the time with you, know that she'll still appreciate what you do and sharing your talent with others. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Good morning. My name is Judy Rogers. I am from North Mankato, Minnesota. I'm calling in regarding your question about how often do you get to create artistically, and just wanted to let you know that I only get about maybe one and a half days a week to create. I do work full-time, and I do have quite a long commute, so that cuts my creating time down quite a bit. I usually try starting creating Friday nights into Saturday, sometimes a little bit Sunday morning. That is about my only opportunity to do so. I have used Nicole's inspiration jar as an idea that I go to often. During the week, I look at different blogs and get ideas for color inspiration and sketches, and then I use those, put them in my inspiration jar, and then I have my husband pick what he would like me to work on. And we actually have a lot of fun with it as a couple. He doesn't do any of the creating, but he just likes to know what I'm working on. And I also do kind of cross-stitch, and I do some sewing, but over the years, those have kind of fallen to the wayside as my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be, so cards are always a great fallback because I'm working with bigger elements. So I hope that answers your question, and thank you for the opportunity to let me speak. Bye.
Hi, my name is Rhonda, and I'm calling from Millbrae, California. And I'm calling about the question about the urge to create and if you get grumpy if you haven't been creative. Since I was a child, I've been crafting. And I'm lucky to have a job now at a needlepoint store. Unfortunately, I rarely get to stitch at the shop, so I make time at night while watching TV. And then even set my alarm to get up 45 minutes early so I can stitch with my morning coffee. I find it's nice and quiet and time just for me. As for being grumpy, I didn't realize that I was getting grumpy until one day, not long ago, my husband said to me that it seemed that I was stressed out and that I should stitch because it calms me down. I think he's a smart man.
There you have it. Looks like across the board, once you declare yourself a creative person and start nurturing that side of yourself, it starts becoming an integral part of your day and even your mental well-being. Which makes sense if you take a second to ponder that. I mean, for myself, I know that if I think a lot about my hobby while I go about some of my everyday chores and tasks, that instead of thinking and dwelling over something that I'm doing, which I may or may not like and don't care for, which would result in a more negative mood, I'll be focusing on something that makes me happy. And after a while, you know, that just all builds up. And personally, I'd rather be happy than grouchy. Therefore, in the long run, being creative really works for me, and it just has a positive impact on all aspects of my life. I like what Christy had to say about creative studying, especially if you need to take a quick 5-minute recharge during the day. You know, it might not be enough time to get something accomplished stamp-wise, but you can certainly find a new idea that sparks a fire in you by surfing some blogs, looking through a magazine, or even putting a few supplies away. You know, especially if you pick up two things that, you know, you never thought to put together, and there you are holding them in your hand, and it's like lightning strikes. Oh, yeah, I need to use those together, and you can use those next time. In the end, it's all good. All right, on to the discussion question for next week. A little funny aside, I'm sitting here putting this podcast together, and I have to listen to everything, sometimes one time or sometimes multiple times, and listening is not really a hands-busy thing for me, so I'm usually cleaning my office or checking my email or doing other things while I'm listening to all this to put it together. And I just happened to just check my email, and my friend got a baby gift that I just sent, and she sent me a note. You can check my blog, which is erinlincoln.blogspot.com, to see the baby gift. I made her some headbands with some paper tray felt and dyes. And her note actually made me change my discussion question at the last minute because I was like, oh, I didn't think of that. So just a little backstory. This is a friend who lived down the street from me for a while. And we spent a lot of time together because our boys were the same age. And she moved in August, which devastated me for several weeks, and I'll be lucky to get through talking about her without crying because, you know, it's just really hard when you're close to somebody for having to move away. You spend a lot of time together. So in her note, she said, I got your package in the mail today, and I died over how creative everything was packaged. Boy, I really had a miss you moment today. Which, you know, just made me smile a little bit because I don't usually realize how much being creative and doing something to make myself happy has turned into a bit of a calling card for myself. it's become such a part of my personality. And just the suggestion of it for other people reminds them of me. So my question for you is this. Have you been labeled the creative friend, sister, daughter, fill in whatever label there, and how has it positively affected your relationships in life? Just like Lynn, you know, she saw something I did that was creative and it made her miss me. Do you have any other examples in your life that's maybe similar to that? And on the flip side, I'll be curious to know if any of you agree with me on this. When someone is first introduced to your creative side, and maybe they're a new person in your life, have you ever gotten a little less than a positive remark back? This has happened to my mom, and it's happened to me. Somebody has said, oh, aren't you creative? And, you know, there's just a little bit of an edge in their voice. And I think a few of you know what I mean. It's, you know, it's them, it's not us. But how do you deal with that? I'm dying to know. So please call into our Google Voice account with your answers to one or all of our discussion questions. There's kind of a lot there. And let me know how you feel. The number is 301-799-8338. All right, we got Nicole on the line, and she and I are going to have a little girlfriend chat about some of her creative process and some of the things I've always just wanted to ask her. We don't have any rhyme or reason really to this conversation. We're just going to let it flow and see what happens. So, hey, Nicole.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. So I'm wondering about this whole stamp design process. How do you get that very first kernel of an idea, and where do you take it from there?
I honestly get inspired by, I mean, so many different random things. I have a very expansive magazine collection. I have hundreds of back issues from anything from decorating magazines to fashion magazines to paper crafting magazines, and I use those for reference a lot. Sometimes the way words are set up within an ad or the fonts they use can inspire an entire stamp set. Sometimes the colors or patterns in a fabric can get me inspired to design, you know, this fantastic floral set or something to that effect. And you just never know. I know, for example, the stamp set Everyday Button Bits, I actually got inspired to do that while on vacation, and I was flipping through an issue of Martha Stewart Living, and I came across the napkin that was part of a little collection that her craft editor designed, and the stems of cherries were embroidered onto the napkin, and then they used red buttons to represent the cherries, and that got me to thinking, wouldn't it be so cool if there was a stamp set that had just the basic parts of an image and you finish the image with buttons. And I just started sketching my ideas, you know, from there. So, I mean, I can get inspired by a napkin. I can get inspired by fashion trends. Trends in the paper crafting industry sometimes can inspire me to try to allow people to create, you know, a certain trend easily with a new product or stamp set. There's lots of different things that can inspire a stamp set.
So when you get this kernel of an idea, how long does it typically take you to illustrate it on the computer to create a stamp set?
It really, really varies. If a set is pretty basic and maybe, you know, kind of sentiment heavy, I can complete a set in anywhere from like 3 to 6 hours. But then again, there's other sets that take a lot more time. The few that come to mind are the Year of Flowers collection. Those take a lot of time and research and everything because I like them to be fairly accurate. I usually have to scout around a lot for different photographs of a particular flower, and then I kind of merge different parts and pieces of each photograph to become the ideal version of that flower that I think will translate well into a stamp set. And then the Tiny Treats stamp sets take hours, you know, anywhere from 30 to 40 hours to complete just because there's so much detail in those images. There's 18 images in those sets. And they may be small, but they still take just as much time as the larger image. And the Friendship Jar series also takes a lot of time because they're so detailed and everything. So, I mean, it can vary greatly. You know, some sets are just a few hours, and some can take like a full 40-hour work week.
40-hour work week, wow. Do you anticipate sometimes how long it's going to take you and block out some time, or does it ever surprise you how long something takes?
The very first Friendship Jar set I did, I hadn't really anticipated that particular one taking so long. But ever since then, with all the addition sets, I've known it was going to take that long, and I actually kind of dread getting started on the project because I know it's going to take so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always happy in the end with the results. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting yourself mentally geared up for it. And you know, every once in a while I can be surprised with how fast something can come together, too. The first thing that comes to mind is In Bloom actually came together pretty quickly. I think I got that set done in like 6 hours, which for some of the detail that's in that set, I was surprised at how fast I was able to complete it. So, you know, it varies. I really can't anticipate how long it's going to take unless it is part of a series like Tiny Treats or Friendship Jar. But it can vary greatly.
I've noticed lately with the releases that there seems to be a theme every month. Is it hard coming up with 12 unique themes every year, or is that a pretty easy thing for you to do?
It can be challenging sometimes because, I mean, one of the goals for Paper Tray is to bring really, you know, unique, fresh twists on things. And this year especially has been just a bit of a struggle for me to come up with, you know, brand new, fresh things because we've done so much already. But the design team has really been coming up with some cool concepts this year that they've contributed that I, you know, had the honor of illustrating. And, you know, once I see their sketches or their ideas and I have that flicker of a vision in my head of exactly how I would illustrate it or how the set would work with dyes or how I would want to use those stamps, as soon as I have that little light bulb go off, you know, I immediately can jump on board with that idea and just take off with it. So it can be challenging, but I think at this point we have a really good team to work with, and we all kind of thrive off of each other and the creativity that we have. And I think, you know, in the end, it ends up working out perfectly. So we're never at a loss for ideas.
So what do you enjoy most about the process?
I definitely enjoy when I have that moment that I feel deep down in my creative soul that I have got it. I have got something here that's clicking, that's really working, that I personally am very excited to stamp with. I'm very excited to share it with the customers. And when I get that feeling, it is just one of the most gratifying things about my job ever. And it's like my own personal little high. It doesn't happen with every single set I design. I mean, there's some that I feel more strongly about than others. But when I get that feeling, there's just nothing like it. It just brings me such happiness and joy on so many different levels that that's what I'm constantly striving for is to get to that point when I'm designing.
So do you get a similar feeling of satisfaction when you actually see customers stamping with stamp sets you've created?
Definitely. Definitely. The design team and the customers. I mean, I think I have a little binder I keep of emails that I've gotten either forwarded to me from customer service or people have sent to me directly. You know, just little thank yous and stuff I've gotten over the last few years. And the ones that mean the most to me are from people that say, you know, I've never really been a creative person, but it's just like I automatically become an artist when I start using your stamps.
Oh, I completely agree.
That just makes me feel so good because I do believe that everybody can be an artist and that everybody has a creative side. And, you know, if our stance make it easy to bring that out of people and bring that happiness to them, I think we're totally doing our job. And that's, you know, it totally just makes my day to see people, you know, being creative and having that inner joy when you make a little masterpiece of art, you know, in 10 or 15 minutes. So, yeah, I totally love that.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Right, you, Paper Tray always releases so many Christmas stamps every year. It's about like a 2.5 month release. Are you starting to find it challenging to come up with new Christmas themes?
Yes.
I bet you.
So if customers have any suggestions whatsoever for what they're looking for in Christmas stamps, feel free to post those in the forum.
I'm sure between now and then you're going to get some really great ideas.
You know,
like,
you do.
It would be very challenging.
This year has been a challenge because we're starting to gear up for that now, actually. First of all, it's still surprising to us that we need to do 2.5 months of Christmas. We found that even in November, the only thing we are selling is Christmas stamps, even if the release is geared towards something non-Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up, it ended up having to leak into November as well. So the challenge is I don't like to regurgitate everything that's already been done by us and the industry. And, you know, there's only so much you can do. So we're always looking for, like, fresh twists on old things and that sort of thing. And I, you know, I like to keep things exciting and interesting. We have a couple things that I'm pretty excited about that we're going to be coming out with, but we could definitely use some more ideas, and this is the perfect time for customers to share anything they might want to see. You know, we might be able to work something in. So,
have you ever been surprised with how popular a stamp set ends up being? Like, you were sure it was going to be good, but the actual results far exceeded your expectations.
Yes, Everyday Button Bits. I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt. Julie and I were just talking about the other day. The release night that stamp set went for sale, I was literally in the bathroom getting sick. Because I mean, we had gotten a good response during countdown week, but that isn't always a very good indicator for us for sales. Sometimes things will go completely the opposite direction of what the feedback we get during countdown week. That was the set I was the most nervous about ever receiving. I was so afraid, and I expressed this to Julie on release night as well, is that I was so afraid that that set was going to be a huge failure, that people would say, why would I want to stamp an image that I have to finish with buttons? That people would say, well, I can just draw cherry stems myself or something like that. You know, I didn't know how it was going to be taken by the public, and I was very nervous about it. But it ended up being the number one stamp set we have ever released in the history of Paper Tray by a landslide. So it goes to show, in this industry and really every single aspect of your life, you have to take a leap of faith,
mm-hmm.
and if it's something you believe in, you just go for it, and that is how, you know, that's how good things come, is when you take a chance.
Oh, absolutely. There's with great risk comes great reward, right? Isn't that the quote?
Yes.
Okay, so I heard a rumor there might be some new button bit stamps coming out. Can you confirm or deny?
We don't have any in the immediate future, but there's definitely a plethora of ideas that we could, you know, take for that whole series, but I'm sure there will be more in the future. So
I can't wait. I love your series. I love how things build upon things and you end up with this great collection from one little idea. That's one of my
favorites. It makes it fun. It makes it fun, I think.
Definitely, because you can become a collector and a stamper.
Yes.
All right, Nicole, I'll let you get back to those kids.
Thank you so much, Erin.
Yes. Thanks for talking to us. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. I always enjoy talking to Nicole, and I feel I could do it for hours and hours and hours. So I have plenty more questions for the future, and we hope to bring her back every maybe 3 to 4 podcasts and ask her some more. And if you have any questions you'd like me to ask her, you know, drop me a private message or an email or a blog comment, and I'll add them to my list. Okay, next up is our question and answer segment where you call in to our Google Voice account. Again, that's 301-799-8338. And what I do is I take those questions and I send them out to our design team members, our stamp designers, and Nicole and Jen, and they call in and answer. It's a lot of fun. So let's take it to the phones and see what we're going to learn today.
Hello, this is Judy Rogers, North Mankato, Minnesota. I do have a question for the group, and I'm hoping you can help me. I see a lot of cards that have rounded corners. I love the look. I think it's fabulous and it adds a lot of dimension to a card. Can you please let me know, is there a formulation as to when you make that decision to round the corners or when you leave them straight? Sometimes I get into a project and I'm thinking, that would look really good with a rounded corner, but I don't want to take that leap of faith and round the corner and then ruin my project that I'm working on. So how do you make that decision at the very beginning of the project that it requires a rounded corner for that look? Is it something that's in the main element itself that would help you make that decision, or is it just a gut feeling? Your answer would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Hi, Judy. It's Miley. Gosh, what a great question. I, too, love the look of rounded corners and how this simple detail can really add a lot to the card. But the decision of whether or not to round a corner is not usually one that I make at the beginning of the process. Rather, it's usually one of my last. But I spent some time reviewing some of my previously made cards, and I was able to come up with a few points or reasons as to why I might apply this technique to a card. So I hope that you find them helpful. First up, I may round a corner if the card just kind of seems to be missing something. I may want to add something to the card, but I may not want to overdo it. So to keep things simple, I may just round the corner, and that may be exactly what the card needed. Second, I may round the corner to balance out a card. If a card seems to have a lot going on one side, or it features a large element or a large sentiment or a bow, I may round the opposite corner just to help keep things balanced. And thirdly, may round the corner to aid with the visual lines of the card. When I design a card, I like to arrange my elements and create a visual pleasing flow to help guide your eye across the card from the top left to the bottom right. Usually, if I round the corner for this reason, I tend to round the bottom right corner a lot. And lastly, the fourth reason is usually to keep with a circular or a rounded theme that's featured on a card. If the card seems to have a lot of buttons or punch circles or rounded squares or just any sort of rounded elements, I may choose to round a corner or two.
Hi, I'm Renee, and I'm calling from Burns, Tennessee, and my question for PTI is about going digital. It seems that everything is trending towards digital these days, books, movies, and even paper crafting. So wondering if PTI has any plans or has considered introducing digital into their product line beyond color couture, digipapers, SVGs, and even offering their gorgeous stamps in digiform. Thanks so much, and have a wonderful day.
Hi, Renee. Nicole here. Thanks for calling in with your great question. There are a number of companies that have begun offering digital products in the paper crafting industry, and we tried dipping our toes in that water with the Color Couture line of products that were released last year. We found that this particular type of product is not a good match for our particular customer base at this time. This was noted by the purchasing habits and sales data that we collected during the last year. It seems as though our customers prefer the hands-on experience of getting products already printed and ready to go in their monthly packages, I cannot even begin to count the number of times customers have requested the previously released Color Couture download products in real printed format. This feedback that we've gotten from the customers really tells us what direction we should go in. We haven't dismissed the entire digital concept altogether, and it's something we might revisit in the future. But for now, we're sticking with our roots and bringing our images to you in the form of photopolymer stamps and pre-printed papers. Thanks again for you.
Hi, this is Mindy calling in. I absolutely love stamping and paper crafting. And my question for you is, do any of the designers on the design team have Etsy shops? And if you do, do you have any tips about setting up your own? I was thinking about setting one up and selling greeting cards. Thank you.
Hey, Mindy. This is Betsy Veldman, and I have an Etsy shop, and I really enjoy it when I have the time. I have a few tips that I'll share with you to get you started, some things I've learned along the way. One of the first things that you're going to have to decide if you open a shop is the name for your shop. My shop is called Shop Paper Scissors. It's kind of a spinoff of my blog name. If you have a blog already set up, you might want to think about using your blog name or a spinoff of it as your Etsy shop name. If you already have blog readers, it just helps your customers connect your shop with you if they already follow your blog. Then, after deciding on a name for your shop, one of the other things you might want to think about doing, just to give your shop a real custom feeling, something that matches your style and your flair, is to create a custom banner. Once you've done that, you can build on that as the theme for your shop. You can use whatever logo you've created to make some custom labels or business cards to include with your order. It just lets repeat customers know where to find you. With computers we have available to us now, these things can be done very inexpensively right at home. You don't have to go to a fancy print shop or anything. Most of it can be done right at home. You will also need to decide on pricing and packaging for your shop. As for pricing, I would suggest browsing through some Etsy shops that sell things similar to what you're going to be selling in style and you know, how detailed your items are going to be, just to get an idea of, you know, what those types of things are selling for. As for packaging, I have found it to be more cost-effective to buy my shipping supplies in bulk. I use bubble mailers with like a poly, they're called poly bubble mailers, and I order them from an online source, which really cuts down on the cost versus buying them, you know, in smaller packs at my local big box store. I also think that it's important to make your packages pretty, so you might want to think about adding some little touches like custom labels with your logo on them or packaging your cards in a pretty way, maybe tucking them in glassine bags or even just tying them up with a pretty bow. You know, it can even be just maybe pearly ribbon or something inexpensive like that. But just those little special touches make your customers feel special, and it encourages repeat business. And finally, once your shop is set up and ready to go, you're going to need to promote it at least a little bit if you want people to find you. There's a lot of sellers on Etsy, and sometimes it feels like you can get lost in the crowd. So you're going to have to at least do a little bit of promoting. One of the best and probably easiest ways I have found is to include a link in a small Etsy gallery on the sidebar of my blog. It just lets my blog readers quickly see when I've listed something new, and they can just click on it to get to my shop. All right. Mindy, I hope I've given you at least a few things to help you get started, and I hope you enjoy the process and creating and also the people that you'll meet along the way with your Etsy shop. I wish you lots of luck and lots of sales.
There you have it. It's always fun. And I knew that question for Rounded Corners was perfect for Miley. In fact, I sent it to her immediately. I was like, you got to answer this one. This one, have you written all over it? Okay, so I need you all to call in and keep this podcast up and running. You really are critical to making this fun to listen to every 2 weeks. So please give us a call with either your discussion questions or your questions to ask our stamp designers, design team members, and so on and so forth. Again, our number is 301-799-8338. And what I always do is I take the list of participants who participated in this week's podcast, and I pick a random winner for a stamp set of the lady's choice. So we have 8 participants today, and we used Judy twice. So that's fair game. The more you call in, the more likely the chance you get on the air and put in the drawing. And I randomly pick a person online. I have this time number 4, which was Judy. See, it really does pay to play as frequently as possible. So, Judy, please call into customer service with your stamp set of choice and enjoy that. It's always fun. All right, that about wraps it up for me. Stay tuned. In 2 weeks, we're going to have another podcast. Can you believe we're going to be into May already? It's hard to believe. It looks like it's going to be May 7th is when our next podcast airs. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you and putting that together. So I'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye.